should have fun in church. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Can you claim the words of that song for yourself? Can you still robustly sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so"? Or do those words catch somewhere in your throat? Can you sing those words because they're so old and familiar that they don't really sink in? Or can you really wrap yourself around the knowledge and the understanding that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, like Thomas said, just as you are, just as how he created you to be, with nothing added? So often we seem to think that God would love us better if we just added something, if we studied more, prayed more, were more involved in church, if we were more successful, or a better living example of Christ. And I'm here to tell you that as much as I would like for you to do those things, and as much as I think we all benefit from spiritual practices and disciplines, Jesus loves you. This I know. Jesus loves you and me just as we are. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you tune me out from this point on, that's fine. As long as you take that home with you. And that you realize that that statement is not just for you, but for everyone. Everyone in your office, everyone in your home, those you love, and those who make you want to run away screaming. Jesus loves you, bumps and all. And he loves me, bumps and all. And he loves all his creation, bumps and all. The world will tell you that the way to tell who Jesus loves is to see how successful the individual is. We Episcopalians, had an awkward relationship with the world. We love the benefits afforded in our world, but at the same time, we're skeptical of a gospel of prosperity. We really want people to earn their way. And on one level of thinking, that's entirely to be commended. People should not be lazy or lackadaisical. But worldly success calls for more responsibility from those with resources, more responsibility toward those in need, not condemnation nor judgment. To whom much has been given, or if one is arrogant enough to believe that good fortune is one's doing, much is expected. Jesus loves me, this I know, even when I'm greedy. Stories about prominent figures in Scripture. First, we hear from 2 Samuel about the solidifying of the kingdom under the rule of David. The tribes of Israel come to David and say, "We're your family. We want you to be our king." And we hear that David began at the age of 30 as a king and had a very successful reign for a very long time. What we do not hear, at least in this reading from Samuel, is about David's shortcomings. David was far from perfect. He was every bit human. Still, he had the reputation of being the greatest king, the one that all of Israel hoped Jesus would redeem. David was affirmed as his kinsfolk as great. He was given all the accolades. He had power and acclaim. But that did not keep his immediate family from suffering many hardships
and being deeply fractured. David learned over and over that his strength was given by God, and his success was not his own, but was given by God. And when he followed the plan that God had for him, he did very well indeed.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Jesus could possibly love us, all we have to do is look at the example of Paul. He persecuted Christians. And if that sounds too sterile, imagine this. He and others would go where Christians were worshiping, a safe place they thought was safe. They would sing and pray and celebrate the Eucharist and worship God and share the good news of the resurrection of Christ. In the midst of all of that, Paul and his friends would drag him out to be questioned, tortured, or even killed. He even stood by, holding some guy's coat, while Stephen was martyred, stoned to death. All the while, Stephen was sharing the good news. Jesus loves Paul. Jesus loves you. So if Jesus can love Paul, he certainly can love you and me. Jesus does love Paul. Who was the persecutor Saul? So much that Paul was given a taste of the afterlife. He described it as third heaven. In Paul's day, there was an understanding that heaven had seven layers, therefore seventh heaven. Anyway, Paul had a personal mystical experience that involved the third level of heaven, meaning that there was still more to come. If one experiences personal and prophetic and mystical experiences, one might become arrogant and feel superior. So to assure that arrogance and superiority did not get the better of Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. We can speculate all day about what that thorn was. Many people have over the years. But we'll never know, and there's a reason that we will never know. And that is so that we can stay at the right point. Paul asked and prayed to be relieved of this impediment, but he was not. He was conflicted, afflicted, less than perfect, less than whole, and still Jesus came to him and used him in ways far beyond his understanding. Jesus was not received so well in his hometown. People were skeptical, perhaps even cynical. How can that son of a carpenter do what he is doing? Isn't he getting a bit big for his britches? Certainly, they questioned the fact that he was on the road all the time and wasn't staying home to take care of his mother, who was now a widow. That's what the firstborn son should be doing. And because of their skepticism and disbelief, his ability to work with them was limited. With God and Jesus, all things are limitless. But skepticism and disbelief can limit even God and Jesus. After this experience at home, Jesus sent the disciples out as they were, with no support. He said, be yourself, do your job, tell people what you know. Don't take a lot of extra supplies, count on people to support you. Be yourself and be vulnerable. I love you. It will all be good. The way Jesus sends the disciples out is familiar. It sounds a lot like a tearful, or not, instruction given by a mom or dad in the dorm as the first child is making his way into college life out of the nest. You'll be fine. You'll have tons of fun. You'll meet great people. Be careful. Remember who you are. Don't associate with the wrong crowd. Pick your friends wisely.
Perhaps Jesus trusted his friends more than we do as he let them loose into the world. Still, the message is the same. I love you. I'm giving you to the world. Now it's up to you. I'm here if you need me. That is the truth of this song, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves you and me, every one of us. Thomas Merton said, I myself am a word spoken by God. Can God speak a word that does not have meaning? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.